You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball.
All right, welcome into Extra Innings here on the Sports Objective, brought to you by Next Level Training Center, our good friends Trent and Gaynell Britt. And you can go to nextleveltc.com. You can go on their Facebook page or simply give them a call at 252-756-NEXT. If you're looking for great training for your kids, especially for baseball and softball, they're fantastic. Give them a call and appreciate their support of the program. Well, Pirates get another victory last night against the Virginia Cavaliers, 4-2. What a great atmosphere. Record crowd over 5,600 in the Greenville Regional. I was there. I know Bubba Rosenbaum was probably right behind home plate. I was in the jungle, and Kyle Barber was on his couch in his living room, I'm sure. Welcome into the show. Speaking of Kyle Barber, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man? Great to watch the Pirates win last night. Yeah, I was watching it from home. It's more convenient for me to see it and follow it that way. But I would have loved to have been there in the atmosphere. The atmosphere came across great on TV. Unbelievable. The crowd was super loud on TV. Greg Olson kept commenting on how into every pitch the crowd was and how ridiculous almost at times we were with giving the home umpire like crap for calls that weren't even close. But we were hanging on every pitch. It had an atmosphere last night like it was the regional final. That's my one concern, is that we were so emotional last night. We're going to have to match that intensity and emotion tonight against either UVA or Coastal again. And so hopefully the team and the fans are up for it. Because like I said, last night seemed so – it seemed like we won something and we haven't won anything yet. So we need to match that emotion and intensity again tonight.
Welcome in.
Yeah, last night was certainly another level from the game a season ago with Charlotte. That was a tremendous game, tremendous comeback, and last night wasn't a notch up from that. But at the same time, you know, kind of similar there as far as a very emotional win. And I really don't think we have anything to worry about. I think this team has shown that over the last month plus during this 20-game win streak, which is the longest in school history. And, you know, what a night at Clark LeClair. Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball up in the press box. He was just talking about how comical it was. It was so ridiculous how loud it was at, you know, various junctures and throughout the biggest part of that game. You know, when UVA pitchers on a couple occasions, they were struggling to throw strikes. A pitching coach or, you know, the catcher would trot out to the mound and our fans would just come to their feet and just be deafening loud. He couldn't hear the person sitting beside him in the press box. 5,603, a record crowd for Clark LeClair.
Yeah, and Dave mentioned last night it didn't seem as loud to him. Dave was out in the jungle. The thing about sound travels upwards. And if the loudest part of the crowd is actually where you are, the jungle, it's not going to sound as loud standing in it as it would sitting in the stands or in the press box where all the sound is traveling upward and in that direction. So, yeah, I would imagine in the press box or at the top of the bleachers in the stands, that would have been the loudest part because all the sound would have just been traveling up towards you.
Yeah, there was times, though, that when even in the jungle you could tell – that it was really, really loud, you know, there was various parts, but there was parts where I'm used to being on that third base side. So different experience, but certainly a great atmosphere in the jungle. Great, no matter where you are, just to be a part of that was very special. And still in Bubba, the amount of former players, very great to see so many former stars come back and just shows you how big this program really is.
No doubt. Matt Bridges, Cam Colmore, guys like John White who pitched for Coach O in the late 80s and early 90s. And I know there's countless others. I've seen Chad Tracy here at both of our first two games. I know last season it may be
– Oh, Chad Tracy was here? Great.
Oh, yeah, Chad Tracy. He lives in Charlotte now, has a – you know, strength and conditioning and maybe baseball, softball training facility, maybe very similar to Next Level in the Charlotte area. And, you know, Chad, at least some of the times he's been down to regionals in the past, he's actually stayed with Coach Godwin.
Okay, that's cool. And former, he had a lot of success in the major leagues for the Diamondbacks for a while. So that's good to see him back.
No doubt. And certainly the, you know, when we talk about atmosphere, I think, is there any way possible we could get any more than 5603, Bubba and Kyle?
I would think so, Bubba. Do you know how many people they'll let stand out in the jungle?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because right as the game was ending last night, Clip Brock or whoever the PA announcer was last evening came over the PA system and said, hey, and the game six of the Greenville Regional is another sellout. So we shall see, you know, will it be 5,604 or, you know, what will it be announced at tonight?
I doubt it. It'll probably be a little smaller. People probably from out of town have to work tomorrow that didn't plan or just couldn't. I would imagine the crowd tonight will be slightly smaller than the last night. I hope not. I hope it's just bigger, but I would expect to see close to 5,000, if not over 5,000 again. But I doubt we'll break last night's record, but I could be wrong.
I hope you are. I agree with what you're saying, though. It does make sense. That, but a good thing is a 6 o'clock game. So, I mean, you're looking at 9:30, 10 o'clock, you'll be done with the game. And, you know, even if you have to drive like we do a little bit of the ways, it's still not like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's hope.
Now, it's a good idea if you're planning forward and you live like out where Bubba lives and maybe, you know, you just going to take off. Maybe your wife, Bubba's like, I'm going. But maybe your wife insists on coming or something like that. Maybe a good idea going forward, go ahead and just reserve a place at the Outer Banks or Atlantic Beach or something like that. That way you can just hit back. Hey, I'm going to Greenville. Y'all have fun at the beach. And you just go ahead and have your week vacation in conjunction with the regionals.
Sounds good to me. No doubt about it. And a lot of great things, Bubba. I know we wanted to what we'll do is look at back at last night's game and then obviously preview today. A lot of great things are going on.
Yeah, after we, you know, won the way we did against Coppin State, excellent situation, you know, excellent as far as our pitching was set up. You knew that it was likely going to be C.J. Mayhew against UVA, and that was obviously the case. 5 innings, 1 run. It was earned on 3 hits, 65 pitches. I thought he may go a little bit longer into the game, but, you know, with so many arms at your disposal, obviously Coach Godwin and Austin Knight have a better feel for things. And, you know, Garrett Saylor came in, pitched very well, did not allow a hit in an inning in a third. He did allow 1 run, I guess there's a free pass that scored or something of that nature. I don't recall right offhand. But then we also used Carter Spivey, who was excellent in 2 innings. And he did throw 43 pitches, but you know, did not walk anybody. A lot of tough at bats, a lot of pitches being fouled off by UVA hitters. We know, you know, such a good offensive team came into this regional hitting 311, and then after. The first two, well, not the first two, but after we got a strikeout to start the ninth, you saw 2 guys reach with back-to-back singles. Then Coach Godwin elected to bring Zach to the mound. And Zach, after walking the first guy and loading the bases with just 1 out, just clutch on getting back-to-back strikeout swinging to notch his 2nd save of the season. But, you know, C.J. Mayhew was tremendous. He faced just 3 over the minimum, 18 batters in. 5 innings of work.
Yeah, Olson made the comment last night, you know, that Agnos didn't really have much warm-up time. Obviously, he's warm from playing out the field, but the pitching. And he noted that Agnos' velocity kept going up. Like, instead of it going down, like his fastball, when he first started throwing, was reaching about 91. Then by the time, you know, we were getting the last out there, his fastball was hitting 95, 96. Wow. So it was, I think he had to get his arm warmed up, and I think some of that was intensity and adrenaline. But yeah, his fastball went up from 91 to 95 during the course of those last couple outs.
Did not realize that about a 95 mile an hour fastball. I knew I think it was the first punch out for the second out of the inning. Zach's final fastball to that batter was, I think, 93. But yeah, I knew he had hit at least 94 during the regular season. But how could he not be beyond jacked up there? And I'm sure that's one of the things with bringing him in that situation. Not only does he have excellent stuff, you know, he's going to be very intense, but also hanging loose, anything but nervous. And and that showed up, you know, after he walked the first guy to respond with back-to-back strikeouts.
Yeah, he's extremely competitive. And you know, I kept screaming, you know, let's just turn two. And then you struck the guy out. And, you know, I was just – when he walked the first guy, I was just like, pitch to him. Don't be scared. Just go fastballs, pitch to him. Make him beat you. And yep. Don't try to pitch around them. Don't nibble. Just make them beat you. And that's what he ended up doing, and they couldn't do it last night. And, guys, today, preference, would you rather play Virginia again or would you rather play Coastal or either way?
I would say either way for me. I think that we show that we can beat Virginia. I think that both teams are going to be – I think they're going to have to use a lot of resources, I think, to get to where we are. Tonight is 6, so a 1 o'clock game starting, I guess, right now for UVA and Coastal. So, I mean, either way, I think the Pirates are – it's just a special team. Anything can happen, but I feel very good about the Pirates no matter who we play.
Yeah, I guess part of me
– do you want Coastal?
Part of me, I think Coastal – had to use a little bit more pitching yesterday against Coppin than what they expected, and then I think I'll probably have to go through some pitching today against UVA. We'll see. Part of me it wants Coastal. I think UVA would stand a better chance of beating us twice than Coastal, though. That's no disrespect to Coastal, but it's going to be what it's going to be, and I'd like. I'm sure we take care of it tonight and don't have to play Monday. But, Bubba, do you remember my prediction for the regionals? We would beat Coppin, beat UVA, lose game one to Coastal, then beat Coastal in game two. You remember that?
I was trying to forget it, but, yeah, I remember you saying it.
Yep. So I hope that doesn't happen now. I'll take it, but I hope it doesn't happen now.
Yeah, as far as my preference, for the reasons you mentioned, I think, I mean, you look at it, I know Coastal was doing their best to save Knorr, who's one of their top two arms. In some people's opinion, maybe their top arm, but he did not pitch yesterday.
They're going to have to throw him against Virginia today.
Right, exactly. So I think that based on the way things have unfolded, and maybe even before that, that even though Coastal had very good pitching, I think UVA's was probably deeper. So I think it'd be tougher for Coastal to beat us twice.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it still, you know, last year, this is no disrespect to Maryland, they're hosting a regional this year. Last year, you kind of, after Charlotte, I just didn't feel any way Maryland could beat us twice. With UVA and Coastal, I do respect both those programs tremendously. And, you know, I have all the confidence in the world in the Pirates, Cliff Godwin, and this ball team, but I'm still nervous. I hope, and I think all Pirate Nation should be nervous because yeah. if we are, then that means we're going to have the same intensity tonight we had last night in the crowd. So exactly. We need to take care of it tonight and I have to play tomorrow. But you know what? We win it tomorrow. But, as long as we win the damn thing, that's really what matters. Guys, have y'all, either of you, particularly you, Bubba, and you too, Dave, but have y'all experienced a baseball game that was that intense? Obviously we've been in situations in super regionals. We've been in regional finals. Maybe the South Carolina game. with more intent where we won the regional.
South Carolina in 2009 was definitely like that. I've certainly experienced it, but right last night, record crowd in the stands and staying in the winner's bracket and being 2-0 because that's so critical. I mean, it certainly is right there, top five, if not number one. The Virginia game 6 years ago to the day yesterday
when Travis
Watkins hit the bomb, that was obviously right there. Because much like that South Carolina game, I think in each of those games we went into the ninth inning with a 3-run deficit. So and then did what we need to do to produce such a substantial comeback.
Yeah, I was thinking home crowd only. That UVA experience was so unexpected up there. I remember I left the house because I was disgusted at the top of the night. I said, screw it, we're going to go eat dinner. And then I listened to us come back and win that game in the truck on the way to Greenville. But the as far as home crowds, the South Carolina game in 09, that would probably be the all-time where we won it like we did. But last night I would say would be number two at Clark LeClair to date. Hopefully next weekend we'll shatter all those feelings and intensities and when we break through and go to Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fact of the matter is the crowd plays a huge factor. I mean, it was great to see the packed stadium, the atmosphere. What was that stat, guys? They were showing that on ESPN about, I think it's 71% of the time. Whenever you host a regional, those regional team, whoever's hosting wins, and 67% of the time, if you host a super, you win. Something like that.
It's something like that. Those numbers don't sound exactly right, but it's something like that. I'll tell you another interesting one I do remember from last night. I think it's 82% of the time, if you win the winner's bracket game on Saturday night, you win your regional.
That makes sense. No doubt about it. And looking
while we're on such stats, I know last night ESPN said that teams that start 2-0 in regionals advance something like 82 or 83% of the time.
Yeah, I just said that.
They just said that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I just worded it different. So let's hope that continues. And guys, can you imagine if we do handle our business tonight or tomorrow? What the atmosphere will be like in Greenville next weekend. Can you imagine if we win Friday, what the atmosphere will be like Saturday, or if there's a game three? I mean, it'll be – I can't imagine how the atmosphere will be. It'll be insanity. And if we do go to the World Series, the celebration, good God.
Yeah, finally. But we've got to just make sure that – most importantly, take care of business tonight. Let's go back. And Bubba, I know we want to talk about last night's game because that thing I'm happy about, like I was saying, is a pitching. But one of the coolest experiences we had is I had to unfortunately work. And so I got there a little bit late and I had to walk. We're walking around trying to find a place in the jungle. And about that time, that's when that 2-run shot from Moylan literally went over McKenzie, Alexander, and I into the practice field. We see this dude climb over the fence and get the ball. When he tried to climb back over, he about did a backflip. And I was telling my kids, I was like, that was really dangerous. But it's that part of the atmosphere that you don't get to see if you're watching on TV. Like stuff like that that happens inside of a game, like storylines inside of a storyline. But that was a massive shot, and we desperately need his bat if we're going to win tonight or win super or even do well in Omaha.
Yeah, Josh had a lot of quality at bats down in Clearwater. I had at least 5 hits, maybe more, 2 doubles, 2 triples, and that's something as far as having 2 triples that a lot of people don't realize with Josh Moylan, how well he runs for a big guy. Last night, it'd be hard-pressed to hit a ball any farther than that. I'd love to know how far the ball went and exactly where it landed on the Cliff Moore practice facility. and I think something like his fifth or sixth bomb of the season. And really, after his rough start, once he got that week off, he's had a decent year. It's just such a tough start of the season, and he also has an excellent eye. You know, even early on when he was struggling and not getting many hits, he had walked probably 20 times, so he wasn't like. Or it was not like he was chasing an abundance of bad pitches. But, you know, that really – the crowd last night, we talked about it, you know, 30 to 45 minutes before the game, people were already claiming their spots in the jungle. And, you know, 10 minutes before first pitch, there were big-time purple and gold cheers going on between the grandstands and the jungle. So, so in addition to that, you know, just to keep the momentum going, you know, keep the crowd and really take the crowd to another level, and more importantly, just get the upper hand in the game, and it remained that way into the middle innings. And then remember Noel from UVA absolutely hit a rocket into center field off the batter's eye. But one of the things and one of the big takeaways, in my opinion, from that game in the fifth and the seventh when UVA scored, we immediately responded in the bottom of the fifth. Will Coxon hit a no doubter to right, or right center, right there around the scoreboard, and then AMAC and company. Ryder Giles laid down a bunt in the seventh, and Agnos produced a sack fly to center. So we manufactured a run there.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed about this team here late in the season, and the way I put it, it's almost like we get pissed off when people take the lead on us to get competitive with us. And we're like, no. You don't do that. And then we'll come back and answer and take the lead back or extend the lead or whatever. But interesting thing about the sack butt and then the sack fly. I'd explain, Jessica's watched baseball. She don't get into baseball as she does football, but she's watched enough baseball with me. But I had to explain to her why the sack butt and the sack fly was a good thing. She was like, well, he was out. I was like, yeah, but the guy scored. I had to explain to her what a sack fly was and how it worked. I thought she knew.
Know what about?
I appreciate Frank Durham chiming in, as well as a lot of other folks on YouTube and Facebook. But Frank said Josh Moreland ambushed that pitch.
That was awesome, and it was a no doubter. Time he made contact, there wasn't no is he going to go yell at the TV, go ball. Or it was just bye. I mean, it was, you know, that ball basically said bye, Felicia, and it's going to be in the next Friday movie.
Exactly. That ball was deep into the field. I mean, probably 30, 40 feet or more on the practice field, I'd say. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it was pretty deep into the field. I was shocked about how far it went, but awesome stuff. And by the way, guys, wanted to mention, thank you, Brandon. Virginia's up currently 1-0 if you're watching this live. So we'll see how that plays out. Want to talk about other regionals. And one of the things that big news last night, how about Scott Forbes of Carolina, suspended for 2 games. If you didn't see that video, I want to talk about that quickly because I know that we're getting tight on time with our show.
Yeah, we shared that on our social media, and in the video that I saw, he wasn't extremely animated, so I'm sure he said a few magic words. And based on what the NCAA or ACC, whichever it was, I believe it was NCAA, Johnny Gardner actually forwarded it to me. But they released a statement earlier this morning about 10 o'clock, just, you know, outlining the situation and what transpired. And I think maybe you saw this as well, Kyle, but I believe it was a bases loaded situation. Maybe it was first and second, but there was a ball that was hit in the air just beyond the mound. Second baseman coming in, but apparently, you know, the umpire made the decision that he could not make the catch with routine effort. So the infield fly rule was not in play. And Coach Forbes saw it differently and proceeded to get tossed. And he's now serving a 2-game suspension. And VCU's in the driver's seat there. UNC will be playing Georgia. And then the winner of that will have to beat the Rams twice.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call Georgia's going to win that regional. Calling it now.
All right. Well, that was everything. What about, was there other takeaways? I know Certainly, LSU did the walk off last night. That comes
that was you know, LSU came back against Kennesaw the night before, one of the most remarkable comebacks I've ever seen in my life. From down 8-4 to come back and win at the ninth, and then last night Southern was up 6-2, and they blew it. Southern missed choke. Part of that was LSU. You know, so it was in the bottom of the ninth. LSU was batting last. LSU actually cut into that lead and made it from and made it 6-3, and there was two outs, and you thought Southern was going to get out of it. But unfortunately, they choked and lost an extra inning. Felt bad for the Golden Eagles. They're, you know, I kind of still look at them as our brothers, and so felt bad for them and them choking that one away. But rather than us,
yeah, like you're saying, they trailed in the after seven innings in each of the first two games and rallied from that 11-4 deficit against Kennesaw State, and so now Kennesaw State and Southern Miss will play for. The opportunity to have to beat LSU twice.
Yeah. And LSU doesn't appear to have a lot of pitching. They seem to be doing this all with hitting, so it is possible. Southern, one of Southern's best pitchers hadn't pitched yet. I don't know if they're going to throw him against Tennessee. I wouldn't. Me and James, my buddy James, Golden Eagle fan, talked about this last night. If your goal is to win that regional, not to just beat Kennesaw State and make it to the LSU game, I believe I would save, I believe it's their Saturday guy they haven't started yet. I would just see if I could beat Kennesaw without him, because you're not going to beat LSU twice without that kid.
That's a good point. Well,
I do know this about LSU. I'm not sure what their pitching numbers are, but I do know the weakness of their team is their fielding. Their fielding percentage is only something like 963.
Oh, wow.
You know, meanwhile, the Pirates is 983, So that's what the D1 baseball guys, I've heard them talk about it throughout the season, that the LSU struggles to play catch, and they kick it around.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
UVA at the top of the first up 1-0. They got two on with one out, so they're trying to extend their lead. But I kind of thought UVA might come out a little hungover today, but it looks like they've come out ready to play against Coastal.
Taking a look at the Stillwater Regional, Arkansas is going to have to be beaten twice there. You're going to have Oklahoma State and Missouri State playing in the afternoon. And then, like I said, they'll have to beat the Razorbacks twice. Razorbacks defeated the Cowboys 20-12 yesterday. And Frank said Oklahoma State self-destructed. I did not know how that game unfolded other than the score. But given that Arkansas put up 20 runs, that's not surprising that they self-destructed.
Yeah, Arkansas, man, great team, obviously, last year, and great this year. You have a feeling that they'll probably make it to Omaha. We'll see, but certainly way up there. There are other regionals you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, over in Knoxville, Campbell gave Tennessee everything they wanted. That was a 4-0 Campbell lead there after three innings, and then Tennessee put up back-to-back three spots in the fourth and fifth. But it was still very much a game all the way down to the, I guess, eighth or ninth inning. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the top of the eighth or ninth when Tennessee extended the lead to 12-7 with a three-run homer. But it was 8-7 at that point, and you're thinking, hey, maybe Campbell's going to have a chance to bat in the bottom of the ninth, trailing by a run, and really stun some folks in Knoxville. But give Tennessee credit, they were able to put up a four spot in the top of the ninth and defeat Campbell 12-7. So now Campbell or Georgia Tech will have the task of trying to knock off the balls twice.
Guys, Virginia loaded the bases, one-run lead with one out, and Coastal turns two, so they hold it to one run and get out of the inning. We're going to go to the bottom of the first, Virginia up one. But that could have been a big inning for Virginia, but Coastal turned two and got out of it. Guys, who does Virginia Tech play in the Blacksburg Regional Championship today? Is it Governor Morehead School for the Blind? I mean, that is the easiest regional I've ever seen in my life.
It will be either Gonzaga or Columbia. And to your point, Kyle, the Hokies in their first two games have scored 39 runs. They defeated Wright State 15-9, and that game actually was pretty competitive. That was, I think, the Hokies pulled away late, but yeah, then yesterday they absolutely crushed Columbia 24-4.
How in the hell is your regional Wright State, Gonzaga, and Columbia? I mean, that is asinine. I don't know. Gonzaga had a good team, and that's not a bad league out there, but they still had to travel halfway across the country. That may be the weakest regional I have ever heard of.
Yeah, it's definitely it definitely makes you wonder, especially when Virginia Tech is one of the best in the country. You would think.
Well, that's part of the thing. I mean, they're the number four national seed, so.
Right, but you look at Tennessee's regional, Bubba. It's tougher than that. I mean, Georgia Tech was in that regional, weren't they? I mean,
they were, but I don't know enough about those programs this year specifically to Gonzaga or Wright State may very well be better than Georgia Tech just because they're in the ACC.
Right, but nonetheless, I mean, and we know what Campbell is, and I just look, I think, I'll give you another example. In my opinion, we're a higher seed than Maryland, and I don't know that UConn might end up winning that Maryland regional, but I think Maryland had an easier regional than we did.
Well, that'll make it more sweeter when we win, and certainly, hopefully, we will tonight at 6 o'clock. And we want to make sure that everybody gets out there and get out there early. Be loud, be raucous. Like last night. Let's see if we can match it. Like Kyle said, let's match the intensity.
Virginia is pitching Jake Berry, guys. Do we know anything about him? Is that a good thing that they're starting Jake Berry?
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm not familiar enough with Virginia's staff to know. But as far as the College Park Regional, yeah, UConn, we honestly, I did not feel out of bracket, but if I would have, I would have had UConn coming out of there just because I think they were getting slept on a bit just because they came from a weak conference with the Big East. But it would have certainly – it had been UConn or Wake, but I think I'd have gone with UConn. Either Wake or Maryland will have to beat the Huskies twice. And one other one I wanted to make a quick mention of, and that is Texas State the Sun Belt in general. You've seen a very good showing from the teams that are in the tournament, the four teams from the Sun Belt. And the best has been Texas State. They're 2-0, and either Stanford or UC Santa Barbara is going to have to defeat Texas State twice in order for them not to advance to a super regional, and then they would be meeting either UConn or whoever comes out of that College Park regional.
Did A&M come back and beat Louisiana last night?
They did, unfortunately. Okay. A&M, let's see.
I know Notre Dame beat Georgia Southern.
A&M won something like 9-6, 9-5, and so A&M's 2-0, and they will have to be beaten twice by either Louisiana or TCU.
Yeah, and then I know Georgia Southern last night had their opportunities to win that game against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's pitching just kind of kept them off balance, but they had their opportunities. But yeah, you're right. By the way, I heard Mully talk about the lighting issues at Georgia Southern, and he didn't understand how they were going to be able to host there. A stadium's big enough, but they had lighting issues. And I was like, what is he talking about? And God almighty, have y'all watched any of the Georgia Southern Regional? That is the worst lit major Division I stadium that has a good baseball program. It is ridiculous.
I have watched some of it, Kyle, and I guess the night game that I would have seen was on Friday when – they had a ton of rain, so you had a very late game going on in Statesboro between Texas Tech and Notre Dame. And I thought the same thing myself. I was wondering if it's as bad as it seemed on TV. And then after I thought about it, I remember when we played down there last year. I'm trying to remember if we had a night game. At some point, whether it was against the Pirates or not, is irrelevant. But I had seen – I remember maybe it was when App State had played down there. I was watching Britt. The Mountaineers against Georgia Southern, but I was aware. I was like, yeah, their lighting is horrible.
I heard Mully talking about it, and I was like, well, what is he talking about? It can't be that bad. Oh, yes, it can. And I don't know. It doesn't look as bad on the field, so maybe that's how they get away with it. but you can't see people in the stands. Everybody in the stands, they look shadowed. Like even like the dugouts, when you see the guy in the batter's box behind the plate, it's all shadowed. I think maybe the actual on the field game area is just barely well enough lit, but that's embarrassing. Georgia Southern, a good program in the Sun Belt with a lot of baseball tradition, they got to do something about that. I don't know how much there's got to be a reason behind that. Otherwise, I don't know why you wouldn't fix your lighting issue. I don't know. That's extremely strange.
Dave, very quickly, Frank had another comment or kind of a point that he was saying in his opinion that the tourney wouldn't be totally fair until the NCAA seeded 1 through 64. Well, I think if you look at it, this is a good question for Coach O. I mean, even though they don't technically seed 1 through 64 or express it that way, I think if you look at it, you know, generally, you know, if you have the top seed like Tennessee, then you're going to get probably a weaker four there, and they're going to balance out the regional. So even though they don't seed 1 through 64, Coach O has expressed that in the past, as well as, you know, other selection committee chairs, just the balance of a regional.
They do that, what they do, and I agree with him, though. But what they do, we had a tough two and a tough three, so they gave us the weakest four in the field. Coppin State had the lowest RPI by far in the entire field, 64. But we had it extremely tough in 2 and 3. So, yes, they do try to balance it out that way. But I do agree with him. I think it should be seeded 1 through 64. I think it would make things a lot fairer. I think you'd see less upsets, so maybe it wouldn't be as fun. But I do agree that they should seed it completely 1 through 64. And regions be damned. You know what I mean? The two seed you get is the two seed you get. Whether they're, you know, if they're coming from the Midwest and playing in Greenville, whatever. I think it would make a lot more sense.
And one more regional update with Louisville. That regional, Michigan, is off to an excellent 2-0 start. They seem to be playing their best baseball at the right time, and either Louisville, who's up 3-1 now on the Oregon Ducks, so either the Ducks or Cardinals will have to defeat Eric Bakich and Nick Schnabel's Wolverines twice. So let's hope Michigan can advance to the Super Regionals. It's great to see Bakich and Schnabel have success.
Yeah, and that's a very tough regional. So you're talking about Louisville, Michigan, Oregon all in the same regional. I don't know who the four seed was there.
All right, Pirates, we'll see who they're going to be playing. As we, I believe this is it still 1-0, guys, for Virginia?
I believe so, guys. I believe that's still the score. I wasn't paying attention right then, but I believe we're in between innings right now, or they're changing pitchers or something because we're on a commercial as I look back up at the TV.
All right. Well, good luck to the Pirates tonight. Again, get out there, get there early. Let's be loud. Let's make it a tough atmosphere for Coastal or Virginia, who are we playing tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to thank Bubba and Kyle. We had our good friends from Next Level Training Center. Thanks to Trent Gaynell for their sponsorship of the show, 252-756-NEXT. Or you can simply go on their Facebook page as well. They do a great job of keeping things up. If you have a son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter that loves baseball, softball, it's the place to be there in Wimbledon.
Dave, how young do they go? How young does Next Level?
Probably like 5 or 6, maybe.
Okay, someone posted in a group I'm in Kinston looking for sports activities to put their 3-year-old in. And I said, well, how about if they're 3, you just have them go run around in the yard? But
yeah, I think it must be like school age, I would say.
Yeah, I'd never heard of, Bubba, maybe you have. I've never heard of an organized sports activity for a 3-year-old, maybe gymnastics, but that's about it.
Yeah, I've heard of some, like you're saying, Kyle, I think I've heard at some point of 3-year-olds maybe doing t-ball or indoor soccer or something like that, that where there is some structure, but, you know, it's more just exposing them to the game a little bit and getting them some exercise and that kind of thing, a little socialization. But, yeah, most of the time I know Riley and Reese both played t-ball when they were 4. But the final thing I would have as we're wrapping this up is just I will give a shout-out to Jared Plummer, who's at ECU Jungle on Twitter. Jared, Richard Allsbrook, as well as John White and some other Pirates were nice enough to share some of their videos. So I'll combine that with what I took yesterday, video and picture-wise, and that will be up on our YouTube channel later on this afternoon before first pitch in tonight's 6 o'clock game.
And it is still 1-0 UVA, and UVA is at the plate as we are in the top of the second.
All right, Christian's asking quickly on Facebook about ticket information. It's sold out, Christian. You would have to go on like something like StubHub or maybe
just go to the StubHub. Go to the game. You go to the game. You'll probably be able to find somebody out there selling the ticket.
But Christian, really if you're going to try before the game. You know, check the message boards, go to Hoist the Colors, go to Boneyard Banner, go to Twitter. I've seen folks on Twitter both searching and selling. So if you have a Twitter account, then check social media, you know, Instagram, whatever.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate it very much. Frank will let people decide that off the air. He had a quick question about whose home run went further. He said Bryant Packard in 2019 versus Campbell, Josh Moreland last night. That's a debate. I'm not sure. I know that one, but Bryant Packard was a shot. I think that was on Charles. Was that the one on Charles Boulevard, guys?
No, Bryant Packard's was. I believe he's referencing the one in the night game against Quinnipiac. It was well over the trees, out onto the Cliffmore practice facility. Okay. You had a mammoth shot by Jake Washer, I think, in one of those games. And, a lot to remember as far as those games. Bryson Worrell hit one that I think it was just to the right of the scoreboard, but if it had been directly at it would have cleared the scoreboard.
All right. Well, good luck to the Pirates. Hopefully we can get a victory tonight. We'll have it hopefully tonight after the game, or certainly we'll get our extra innings in as soon as we can. And we appreciate Kyle, Bubba, everybody for chiming in on Facebook and YouTube. And again, thanks to Next Level for all their support of the program. All right, until we meet you again, good luck to the Pirates. And, hey, let's have a great one.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night. We will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at TheSportsOBJ on Twitter, at TheSportsObjective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!